Just as way of explanation and instruction, you'll notice, and if you're really new here, you'll pick up on it right away, that we have four scripture readings each week. That's kind of a different way of approaching things than some communities. It's an ancient way of following a prescribed list of scriptures called a lectionary. And you can find the resources online for this if you'd like to, because there's a lectionary for every day. But just so you understand, we do follow a lectionary here, and it's amazing how the Spirit speaks through the lectionary scriptures week to week. And themes that are brought forward out of these scriptures. And today, the theme that is here, at least as I have worked through the scriptures and spent time preparing, is the theme of Sabbath. The life-giving topic of Sabbath: rest, renewal, reconciliation, and delight. Wayne Muller was a very successful psychotherapist. He had many clients in Santa Fe, and he was in demand as a conference speaker and retreat speaker. He was also the CEO of a global nonprofit organization that provided food to areas where there was food scarcity throughout the world. He served on dozens of boards and commissions. He was a published author. He was a chaplain for a clinic. He was one busy guy. Then it hit. The massive illness that would render him almost unable to breathe. Close to death, overwhelmed by an infection that nearly claimed his life. He was so ill when he was in hospital, he couldn't even lift his head or open his eyes. It took every ounce of strength just to welcome a visitor to the room. He was utterly and totally exhausted. Some of you are saying, I get that. On his long road back from the abyss, he learned just how out of control his life had been. And he determined to make deep and lasting changes. He did. And along the way, he wrote a book called Sabbath. And on the dust jacket, it's promoted as a book that just might save your life. You know, too many people discover too late that life is meant to be lived in balance. Work, rest, play, and the balance of these categories is not optional. It's ignored at our peril. Of course, ignoring this is the world we live in. We feel the rush of our busyness and the sense of being overwhelmed, and it's something we complain about and brag about at the same time. How are you doing? Oh, I'm so busy. But let me tell you about it. And then we go into all the busy things that we're doing. And usually we continue to live in it, unless we're stopped in our tracks by something acute that threatens our existence. Something like Wayne experienced. What's amazing is that for Christians, we don't need to search for the answer to this, because it's embodied in the very nature and the rhythm of creation itself. We know it as Sabbath, a day or even a concept that calls us to seek from work, to rest, to celebrate, and give thanks. Sabbath is a wonderful gift, and it's a command. Built into the very identity of God's people of promise is the command to keep and honor the Sabbath. Ceasing from work on the seventh day to mirror God's own rest at the completion of creation. And actually, that's really the only reason given for why we observe the Sabbath, because God did it. God rested, and we rest as well. But Sabbath keeping is not just command keeping. It's far more than that, and today I would like to touch on a number of themes in Sabbath as an encouragement and maybe challenge for us that we see in the scriptures that are here in front of us and maybe some others to consider what happens when we honor the Sabbath well. I grew up in a time when Sunday, the Lord's Day, certainly one version of the Sabbath, was marked by numerous prohibitions. Right, Scott? You remember those? There were things we were not allowed to do on Sunday. If you see Chariots of Fire, you'll understand some of that. My dad wasn't happy if I put off mowing the grass from Saturday to Sunday. Sunday's not a day to mow the grass. Football was fine. Bowling was out. Mostly because they had a bar at the bowling alley and pool tables. So we just convinced my dad to buy us a pool table and put it in the basement. Then we played any day we wanted. Funny how that works on Sabbath rules, right? But it wasn't just church-going folks. I lived in a, and some of you lived in a society where through blue laws, businesses were strictly regulated on Sundays. They were just closed or you couldn't just, you know, do a number of the things that you would do on the other 6 days of the week. You know, the rabbis in the period before the New Testament also established many rules about what could and could not be done on the Sabbath day. In fact, there were 39 types of work that were prohibited. And the idea behind this is the work that was creative. The work that exercised some kind of dominion over one's environment. Because that's the kind of work that God did. He created. He had dominion. And when he rested, so we rest from those things too. In today's gospel, Jesus does not set the Sabbath aside. He doesn't. But he shows that the Sabbath has a deeper purpose. It's not about rule keeping, but about life and restoration and healing and praising God. It's vital to understand how important the concept of Sabbath was and remains to be for people of God's covenant. It's the only ritual activity that's included in the Ten Commandments. And although the day is a joy and privilege, violations of the Sabbath law under Old Testament legal framework could carry a death penalty. It was serious stuff, right? Because the resting, the Sabbath, marked God's people as his. It was a sign of identity. They were unique in this. There was no such thing as a weekend. There wasn't a normal break. No culture that surrounded the Jews observed anything like it. In fact, the Greeks thought the Jews were lazy because they had a holiday every 7 days. Observing Sabbath was a way of declaring, in not very subtle terms, we are different from you. We have different values. We measure things differently. We follow the one true God. And you know, that's still how Sabbath functions when it's honored. We say, in essence, we belong to God. We're not driven by material gain or entertainment or frenzied schedules, but by allegiance to another system, another kingdom, if you will. And taking such a stand will not always be understood or appreciated. Now, when I mention the Sabbath, I'm talking about the seventh day, the day of worship and rest, but I'm also talking about a rhythm, a concept of resting that can flow across our days and restore balance and proper relationship to life. I think I gained some fresh insights into this over the last several months during my sabbatical. See, a similar word, right? And there were days when I did not have a schedule, where we would just get up and see what the day would bring, to rest, to kind of flow with the weather, to sleep more if I could. And there were days I did. And that was a great benefit and a delight. And so I want to encourage us today in some of these things. It may seem obvious at first, the first thing I want to mention, but I don't want to pass over the fact that Sabbath involves worship. It's a ceasing from work for a purpose. It's not just sort of, let's stop and do nothing. The primary purpose is ascribing worth, honor, and praise to God, the giver of the Sabbath. The Jews were told that the Sabbath was about remembering and observing. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's the words from Exodus. In Deuteronomy, it says, observe the Sabbath day. We set aside our daily pattern in order to remember what God has done and to observe what God is doing. Because on every other day of the week, we are dealing with our own concerns. We're trying to earn a living. We're trying to stay alive. We're trying to deal with the demands of life, looking to ourselves and the many responsibilities that we have. Certainly, God needs to be a part of those days, each day. But there's a way in which we have a lot of energy given to us. But in the Sabbath, we turn fully to God, who we worship every day, but not like Sunday for us. We look to Him where we find freedom and release and the lifting of our burdens, the cares that hang over us every day. Sunday is the day, the Sabbath is a time of worship. Christian artist and scholar Makoto Fujimura says that perhaps the greatest thing that we can do as a Christian community is to behold. Behold our God. And this beholding is tied to Sabbath. Again, the next point, and perhaps obvious, is that Sabbath is about rest. Thomas Merton described busyness as a form of contemporary violence. A violence that destroys our inner peace and also destroys the good work that we would try to accomplish. Being busy is valued in our culture, but it can be deadly. Deadly not only as in the story about Wayne Muller, but deadly to our spiritual lives and to our relationships. The Chinese pictograph, and someone can correct me on this, but what I read is that it is the combination of two characters, heart and killing. Heart and killing. We kill our hearts in busyness. Sabbath is an antidote to this that calls us into rest, to come apart from the activism and demands of even good things, to be still. You know, this is always a tension in the local church because we gather on a day of Sabbath, on a day of rest, but we have things going on. I mean, there's children's ministry, there's other kinds of things, there's setup team. And we are always in this tension of wanting to call people into rest, but then not burn them out when they get here on Sunday, right? And we've had to work through this as a staff and other leadership, and there was a time a couple of years ago where we said, we're not going to try to do so much. It looked really counterintuitive that, no, we need to be doing more. Because large churches do more because I think they have a greater span of energy to be able to do that, right? But in a small community, we need to honor and be very careful about how we treat people. So just know that that's always a tension for us. Eugene Peterson says that a busy pastor is a contradiction in terms. For those of you who are preparing for pastoral ministry or who are already in it, he says it's like the phrase promiscuous spouse or embezzling banker. The discipline of Sabbath stands against the tyranny of busyness, and it helps us to recover how we were made to be whole, healthy with the various parts of our lives in proper relationship with one another. Which leads me to my next observation that the Sabbath is healing. There is wholeness in observing the Sabbath. I mean, Jesus reminds the Pharisees of this, doesn't he? In our gospel passage today, when he heals the woman on Sabbath day, something that they didn't like. That was work. That's creative work. But this woman had been bent over for 18 years. It's a physical healing, but it's more than that because the text tells us that a spirit was causing this. So as he heals her, and he heals her spirit, he heals her spiritual self, he heals her body, and then he calls her and he says, stand up straight. He sees this woman, someone who would be usually ignored and cast to the margins, partly because she is a woman, but also because she's ill. And she's healed body and soul. Jesus does not miss her. He looks into her, he sees her, and he says, "Stand up." See, the Sabbath is about healing and freedom and being restored to the place that God intended. But let's not miss the Sabbath, that Sabbath principle is not a private one. We can enter into Sabbath rest from time to time in solitude. And those of you who go fishing, you'll be glad to hear me say that. But the primary context for Sabbath is communal. It's to be observed in community. Because Sabbath is about one another. We see this in Isaiah, his word today to the people. The people are being rebuked for their hypocritical Sabbath keeping. So he says, "You're hypocrites." Jesus says, "You're hypocrites." And it's all around how they are relating to the Sabbath. Because in Isaiah, the people are ignoring the poor. They're engaging in malicious talk. They've closed their eyes to the needs of the hungry, and they're just concerned with their own personal stuff. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way and by not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. It's not about going our own way on the Sabbath. It is about one another and our relationships to one another and our care for each other. As the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath is a bridge from the first three commandments, which address us to God, and the final commandments, which are about the relationships between each other. It's interesting how that's a bridge there in the very way the commandments are given. It's why we call the church to gather each Sunday so that we can be constituted again as God's people, to do justice, to receive his kingdom in joy, to share his peace and carry each other's burdens. You can't do that on your own. I can't do that on my own. The ancient rabbis said, "It is not we who have kept the Sabbath, but the Sabbath that has kept us." We also know delight in honoring God's Sabbath. And we miss this when we think about Sabbath as just an obligation or keeping certain rules. The Sabbath has always been a day of feasting, of thanksgiving, of delighting in God and in his people. The writer to the Hebrews says we don't approach God with gloom and heaviness and terror in our hearts, but with joy and thanksgiving. And this joy and thankfulness is to characterize our worship, is to characterize our Sabbath gathering. Because we need to know that God is a consuming fire. That sounds like a really heavy word, and I think there is some warning in it, but I also take it to mean that God is burning away all of those things that break our hearts. God is burning away all that in us that we are so tired of carrying and dealing with, the sin in us, the broken parts, the broken relationships, that God is consuming all of that as we enter into joyful Sabbath. Sunday's a day to be looked forward to, not dreaded, right? Because we remember God's goodness when we gather. It's to be a day that's longed for, a day that's anticipated throughout the week. It's the time and place where we taste delight again. Now, one of the reasons that we encourage the participation of our children in the worship is that, within reason, of course, it's so that they would know the early delight of Sabbath in their lives. Because if they experience gloom and scowling and scolding and judgment and rejection when we gather, you know, that can create in them an orientation to the Sabbath that they may never overcome. And some of us here know that personally, and we're still working to regain the delight of Sabbath. And one other thing I want to highlight, and this isn't everything about Sabbath, these are just some points today that are on my mind, is that Sabbath involves play. Sabbath is about playing. Sometimes we're just too serious. I mean, the world is serious. There are deep problems in the world, but Sabbath reminds us that God remains in control. So as we turn all of our attention to God, we have the freedom to play, to enter into a time of just exploring. Dan Allender wrote a book on Sabbath, and this is a point that he emphasizes particularly. He says, Sabbath is about plunging into the unknown, setting aside our usual patterns that require tidiness and control. On the Sabbath, we relinquish control to God, and we're free to dream and to play and to wander and to risk. Dan Allender calls Sabbath the height of play because it sets aside all of our human conventions, all the rules we've made up, all the ways we get ahead. In the Sabbath, we set those aside, and we're children again. We're God's children, playing in his kingdom, going where he leads. I know this is a point you're going to have to think about for a while, some of you. Can we really play? I hope so. Allender says, it's the risk of playing with God communally amid his creation, open to the terrifying presence of the Trinity. You know, the greatest places of risk are often the deepest places of God's presence and provision. And sometimes we just have to enter into that kind of playfulness to get to that place of risk. I mean, where are we in our own lives? Where are we risking failure? That if God is not there, we will fall flat on our faces. Or is everything under such control? Are we, if we have everything, like, we've got answers to everything. We've tapped it down and we've, you know, put a bungee cord on it. We've made it tight and it's like, okay, I've got it all worked out. God says, risk, you need to risk because that's where faith and trust is. Sabbath calls us into that risking, into that play again. The renowned architect Frank Lloyd Wright would tell of a story, an incident from his childhood. The winter he was 9 years old, he went walking across a snow-covered field with his uncle, and his uncle was sort of reserved, no-nonsense kind of guy. And as the two of them reached the far end of the field, his uncle stopped him and pointed back across the way that they had come to their tracks in the snow. And he pointed out his own tracks, the uncle did, and they were straight as an arrow, absolutely just straight. Then he pointed out young Frank's tracks, which meandered all over the field. He said, Frank, notice how your tracks wander aimlessly from the fence to the cattle to the woods and back again. And see how my tracks aim directly to my goal. There is an important lesson in that. Years later, Wright liked to tell how this experience greatly contributed to his philosophy of life. I determined right then, he said with a twinkle in his eye, not to miss most things in my life as my uncle had. Entering Sabbath means that we will play in God's field. So where are we with Sabbath keeping? Where are you? Is it a legalism for you? Do you have a delight in it? I don't just mean coming to church, but I mean pursuing a pattern of rest in your life and across your life that involves communal worship, wholeness, caring for others, delight, feasting, and play. What changes do we need to make to enter into that kind of rest and that kind of dynamic? You know, I have to say, probably no one will give you permission for this. I mean, your boss isn't going to say, would you just do less work? Because really, you need to, you know, enjoy a Sabbath. I mean, I hope they will, and especially in the church world and in seminary worlds and so on. Sometimes we've got this upside down. We really do. You may have to make some hard decisions, to make changes, to bring about just this sense of balance, the sense of proper relationship between work and rest and play. One other story. And this from the Jewish tradition, who brought the Sabbath to us and still observes it well. There was a family, and the boy was just sort of very out of control. A little boy, he never had any kind of attention span. He was always running this direction and that direction. He was destructive. And his parents really did everything they could to try to bring him into just a peaceful place, to bring him into a place where he didn't seem so anxious in his life. They took him to psychoanalysts, and they took him to doctors, and they tried all kinds of things, and nothing seemed to help. Finally, they said, let's take him to the rabbi, because the rabbi's a wise man. And they explained this, and the rabbi just sat and looked at the boy who was fidgeting and moving around, and, you know. And he took the boy, and he took the boy up into his lap. And he just held the boy close. He put his arms around him and just held him until the boy could feel the beating of the rabbi's heart. The child went home, and that problem was solved. Sabbath restores us to God's heart, to the rhythm of God's heart, to God's pattern, to God's life, and to God's joy. Let me pray for us. Lord, grant to us your spirit of Sabbath, a rest that we need, some of us desperately. And for those today, Lord, that cry to you that things are just out of control, then I pray that you would make a way, that you would make a way for rest to be pursued. And Lord, as a community, give us your delight. Let us be in just relationships with one another and with others. Lord, let us play in the way that you would have this creative play as we move forward as your people. Lord, settle this in our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name.